to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We've been working on a sermon series called What in the World? And we've just been going through different subjects, different ideas of what is going on in this world, or what have we been struggling with, or what do we find in the world that just makes you go, what in the world? So our first sermon, just to recap, we talked about being relevant and how no one is irrelevant to the ministry of God. And we used Moses as the example that he was an Egyptian, he fled from Egypt, and then he became a shepherd in the desert. And there he just felt that was the rest of his life, is to be a shepherd. And then he comes across the burning bush, and God meets with him. And God asks him to go back to Egypt and set his people free. And Moses gives five objections as to why he shouldn't do it. But then God gives him five answers on why he can do it. And so you are very much relevant. And then last week we talked about enemies. The world is full of enemies. Full of people who are going to be against you, who are going to constantly want to put you down or to make you not do what you're called to do. But we also used Moses as the example that when people came against him as an enemy, he prayed for them. And we used Korah, who was trying to take the leadership from him. And when God said he was going to kill Korah and all the people that followed him, Moses fell down and prayed that God would spare him. He prayed for his enemies. And so do you pray for your enemies? So it brings us to part three of our sermon series in What in the World, and we're going to talk about busyness. And I don't think that I have to say too much about busyness and how this century is full of advancements to make our lives busier, but somewhat better. It sounds odd because we feel we are constantly creating this new technology to make our lives more simple, yet we find ourselves a little more busy. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42 says this, "Now as they were traveling along, being Jesus and his disciples, he being Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Speaking about busyness and the technology, I think about food. And how, okay, I'm always snacking. There's always something. If you go into my office, I have chocolate-covered almonds on my desk. And then if you pull on my one drawer on my desk, you'll find, I think, a bag of peanuts, some Ruffellos, so much other stuff. I'm always snacking. I'm always wanting food. And so when I think of busyness, I think of fast food. The term fast food just means it's fast. I mean, you're going to get your food in a matter of time quicker than maybe starting your oven up and cooking it yourself. But I think that's when our busyness really shows, is that when we go into a fast food restaurant, we kind of get a little agitated, don't we? All right, think of this. Fresh French fries. How many of you guys like fresh French fries, say, from McDonald's or Dairy Queen or A&W? You just, you love it. It's like the crisps, the warmness. It hasn't been sitting under a warming light. But how many of you guys have ever gotten a little frustrated when they say it's going to take another 3 minutes to give you fresh French fries? Maybe three is like really good time. I don't know, maybe say like five minutes or something. Like, 5 minutes, your French fries. And you're like, no, 5 minutes is too long. I want my fresh French fries right now. And like, well, sorry, like, I mean, they're in the deep fryer. What do you want me to do, stick my hand in the deep fryer? And you're like, if it'll make it faster, go for it, you know, do it. But you're just like, come on, 3 minutes for French fries? I mean, come on, if you made French fries at your house, I mean, okay, I make French fries a lot. They're like my weakness. And it takes like 20 minutes for me to make fries. So, I mean, 5 minutes is not too bad. But when you're waiting there and your stomach is grumbling, you're like, I want my French fries now. And you get a little angry because you're like, I got places to be. I got stuff to do. I got food that got to go in my belly. And you're telling me 5 minutes. so. What does that say about our busy lives if we won't wait 3 extra minutes for fresh French fries? You're laughing, but it's true. Okay. Technology has given us the ability to fit multiple things into our days, to get more things crammed into it, and to possibly get them all done, or to make us more crazy about our lives. And so, taking from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, I've pulled this out saying, busy people like Martha make non-busy people feel bad for not being busy. That's a mouthful, so I'm going to say it again. Busy people make non-busy people feel bad for not being busy. I think about a story back in school. In my third year of college, I was constantly doing schoolwork, constantly doing papers. And so every day after I finished class, I would go to the library, and that's where I would be. You would find me in the library doing all my papers, all my work, researching, all this stuff. And if you didn't find me in the library, you would find me either doing soccer, which happened on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then tournaments on the weekends, you'd find me there, or doing student council meetings on Wednesdays after lunch. It really began to fill up. I was busy. And it came a time to when all my papers were done, all my classes were done, and we had a week in between finishing classes and graduating, or, you know, the ceremonies and everything before you get to go home. And in that week, I did not know what to do, because I was always constantly busy. I felt that I should be doing something. I should be working on another paper. I should be helping someone finish their work, or cleaning up or something. It's just when I was really busy, that's when I felt I was doing something. And so when others wouldn't be as busy as me, say I'd go back to the dorm and there's kids sitting in front of their computers playing games or something, I'd be like, dude, what have you done today? Just play video games? Come on, what have you done? They're like, well, I finished a paper. I'm like, dude, I've been in the library every day finishing my papers, doing soccer, doing all this stuff. You kind of get onto their case a little bit. It's like, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you being busy? Busy is productive. Busy makes you look good. Busy is what accomplishes things. And that's what Martha was pretty much doing to Mary. Pretty much saying, she's not busy. She's not accomplishing stuff. She's being lazy. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She should be helping me. She should be a good host. And she gets mad. She tells Jesus, you should tell her to help me out. And I think I relate to Martha the most out of this story, which is sad, because Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, Martha isn't. You think that if I'm up here, I should be Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, but I'm Martha. And that's a sad thing to say, because I'm busy. Or at least I say I'm busy. There are days, have you guys ever had this? There are days when you purposely make yourself busy. You may not like really, really make yourself busy, but you know, you have stuff to do. So when someone asks you, hey, can you help me with this? You're like, no, I'm busy. I got stuff to do. I find the moments before church, I seem to get the most busy. And I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of being busy. I mean, to be honest, I'd rather just be hanging out and doing other things and greeting you guys when you guys come in and getting hugs and handshakes and seeing how you guys are doing. But I find that I'm running around doing things. There's always something. And then I always come in through that door at 10:30. Where was I? I was being Martha. I was getting stuff ready, being a good host, being a good person who's, you know, getting everything ready so it flows well. Instead of being Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, being refreshed, meeting with you guys. Being refreshed. And so we come to Martha, and if we resemble Martha the most, then we resemble the distractions and the worry and the anxiety that followed with Martha. It's dinner time with Mary and Martha. It starts off quite well. I mean, she meets Jesus and goes, Jesus, come back. So she obviously had a plan. She had a plan how the day would go. Kind of like have a plan how church kind of will go, but it doesn't always go that way. But she has a plan. She's like, we're going to prepare dinner. You're going to come to our table because you're an amazing teacher. We heard about you. You're the Messiah. We love you. Come to our house. But it takes a sharp turn when Martha is distracted by the tasks at hand. And she comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell Mary to get off her lazy butt and come help me. And she's expecting Jesus to say, you're right. You know, Martha, you're totally right. Mary, you should just get up and help her out. And I'm sure that Jesus really appreciated what Martha was doing, but I think he was more interested in going, you're missing the point. So instead of telling Mary to get up, he praises Mary and calls Martha out on her distractions. In verses 41 to 42, it says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The problem wasn't that Martha was being hospitable towards her guest, for she had gracious attention towards them. She was making sure they were fed, making sure they were okay. And it's interesting that this happens right before the Good Samaritan, when Jesus talks about the Good Samaritan. The problem wasn't serving, it was that she was worried. The word for distracted that was used in the Bible is perispato, which when translated means to be pulled or dragged in different directions. Martha's worry and distraction leaves no room for an important aspect of hospitality: the gracious attention to the guests. She goes a bit further on breaking the hospitality. Why am I using this word if it's hard to say? She goes a bit further on breaking hospitality by trying to embarrass Mary in front of her guests. And then she goes a little bit further after that to accuse Jesus for not caring about her. Because, Lord, I'm busy. You wouldn't be getting fed if I wasn't doing something. And it would make it a lot easier if Mary was helping me. But the worry and distraction, the busyness of Martha's life, causes her not to be fully present with Jesus. There is no greater hospitality than listening to your guests. How much more so when the guest is Jesus? That's with our busyness. We're so busy doing the ministry of Jesus that we forget or miss out on the ministry of Jesus. We're so busy planning the activities. Well, maybe you're not. Maybe I am. Maybe this has nothing. You guys are perfect. Maybe that's it. But for me, for my life, maybe it's all about planning the activities, making sure everything runs smoothly, and preparing sermons for you guys, and reading the Bible, but being so busy that I miss out on meeting with Jesus in the Bible, or meeting Jesus in the people that I see. So the one thing that is needed, the one thing that Jesus says, is that one thing is needed is to be at my feet. We are tempted to measure our worth by how busy we are, by how much we accomplish, or by how well we meet the expectations of others. Oddly enough, probably most of you will identify, as I said, with Martha. You could feel that you are being pulled in many directions, trying to get many things accomplished. With all those things, you could feel worried and distracted. But yet it almost feels like a natural thing in a fast-paced world like today. Maybe you guys look at me and go, my busyness is justified because I'm doing some really good things. And that may be true. You might have the best intentions in mind. I mean, you do have to provide for your family. You want to give opportunity to your children to have time with them or to enrich their lives. You want to be there for your neighbors, the people beside you in church. And of course, you want to serve the Lord. And so busyness, it's justified. I'm just getting stuff done so that I can be with Jesus. And don't get me wrong, having Marthas in the church is good because they're great with hospitality. They're great with serving people. But when we're all Marthas, we're not being refreshed. All the things that you place in your life might only leave you a little time with the Lord. So think back on your week. Did you find time to be alone in prayer? Did you find time to read the Bible? Did you find time to be quiet? How? It's actually really hard to be quiet. It's really hard to live in silence for a little bit. To be honest, sometimes when I sleep, to help me sleep, I need noise. I need music playing or something. It's hard to be in silence. But how many of you guys have sat in silence and just waited on God? Because if you keep a busy lifestyle and no time for the Lord or receiving his word, we end up anxious, tired, and troubled. Sometimes, and most likely, you can end up doing the kind of service that is devoid of love and joy and actually begin to resent others. That means, say, as me as a pastor, doing the stuff I normally do for the love of God because he's called me to do something, I begin to do it but resent you guys. So, in other words, I don't like you if you come to my ministry. But I love you guys, don't worry. I'm just saying, that's how it can be. It comes to a point that what you used to enjoy because God's love and joy was inside of you is now void of his love and joy because you're so gosh darn busy doing everything else that you haven't had time to go, God, fill me up. That you go, God, I don't like where you've placed me. I don't like where these people keep coming to me. Can't they just fix their lives? Can't they just do everything on their own? They don't need me. Ugh, I'm tired. But we need to be the Mary. We need to be Mary in this type of situation. We need to sit at Jesus' feet to receive everything he has to offer. She sat at his feet and just listened. She didn't worry about the dinner. She knew dinner would happen. Like, even if Martha, maybe if Martha sat at Jesus' feet too, dinner would happen eventually. But what she felt more important was to be fed spiritually. So trying to serve without nourishment is exhausting. You're giving away more than being fulfilled, and it makes you not want to do it anymore. So we are left in Luke's story with suspense. We don't know what happened next, whether Mary and Martha talked things through, whether they enjoyed a meal Martha prepared. Maybe Mary got up afterwards and helped out. Maybe Martha did sit at Jesus' feet. But the one thing that we do know is that Jesus invited her, invites all of us who are worried and distracted by many things to sit and rest in his presence, to hear his word of grace and truth, to know that we are loved and valued as children of God, to be renewed in faith and strengthened for service. There's need of only one thing, attention to our guest. As it turns out, our guest is also our host, abundant with gifts to give. So I'm going to take a lesson from this sermon and what I've talked about, and we're going to slow down a bit. In a fast-paced life, it's all about following the script. It's all about following the routine. It's all about getting through things so that when we hit 12 o'clock, we're good to go. We've been fed. We can go home. We can eat our 3-minute French fries. And we're going to do communion. And I think communion is a perfect time to slow down. I think communion is a perfect time to sit and go, God, what have I been missing? Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near." I think it's time to sit in his presence for a little bit. Some of you guys may feel a little bit agitated about this. Maybe you guys feel a little bit, I don't know if I can do this, but it's just a start. Someone said, and I don't know, I was told this recently by a few friends, it says, what you love or what you enjoy doing, you'll make time for it. And I think that opened my eyes. if I'm not reading my Bible as much as I should be, as much as I should be getting fed, do I love it as much? Am I putting other things first? And so those who are helping with communion, you can come up. I'm just going to talk about communion for a bit and what busyness means and everything else. Communion is a time of reflection. We take the passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from the Apostle Paul talking about the Lord's Supper, and he says, "What has been passed down to me, I pass on to you." Because he wasn't there. He wasn't at the Lord's table on the night that he was betrayed, on the night that he was going to go to the cross. But he passes it down to us so that we may take the time to remember. That we may take the time to go, "God, where in my life, where in the year's life am I lacking? Where in my life do I need strengthening?" Or even times to go, God, I'm lost. I don't want to do. God, I need you. And I want to slow down because this is important. Because sometimes it takes us all the way to Easter to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. I'm going to play half a song as we get going. And it's called Miracles. And it's a song that I've been listening to quite a bit. And as we pass out the emblems, I want you guys to take a listen as you're doing this. And go, "The God of miracles is reaching out to me. The God of miracles wants me to listen. Wants me to slow down. He wants to do something in your life." So everyone is welcome to take communion. If you don't want to, you can just pass it along. We ask that you hold on to your emblems and we can partake it together at the end. But it's a time of reflection. It's a time of going, "God, where in my life do I need to change something?" So we're going to play the song if you're ready, Jesse. And we're going to hand out the emblems.
Begin to declare that our God is the God of miracles. Our God is the God of miracles.
See? Slowing down is hard. Just letting a song play through. Let's go. I should have just ended it right there. But I believe God wants to do something not only in the church, your lives, and that he has something fantastic planned, something great, whether it's a relief from something, forgiveness from something, doubt, anxiety, depression, anything, and I believe he's going to do it. That the God of miracles that was the God of miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament is still the God of miracles today in the present. And so we're going to take communion. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do in remembrance of me.' And let's partake with the bread." And Paul continues on and says, "In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' Let's partake cup together." And we're going to do something a little different. If you want to go, you can go. but I want to open the opportunity to give you guys to just sit, be refreshed, sit in his presence, sit and be with people beside you to pray with you, or if you want to be prayed for, I want to pray with you. And I believe those on our board would love to pray with you.